We're going to start with verse 11 today. And I'm going to ask you, as soon as the scriptures are up on the screen, and Buddy, you and I didn't talk, but there you are. Let me say a word about this. I called this God's master plan today, Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. And God has a master plan. And God's master plan is unfolded all throughout the scriptures. And here, Paul refers to that. In the end of this passage, where we're going to talk today, the end of this passage, Paul talks about and gives an illustration of God building a house. That God is the builder, and it's interesting, we are part of the household of faith, and we are actually the building materials, so to speak, in Paul's illustration. So I know this is kind of goofy to say, but it's like we're a 2x4. Okay? We're a 2x4. And God is going to place us into his household for his purpose. And so we're both the living children of God, and we are the structure of God's household. And it says that as we are God's household, he receives glory as we submit to him. And we'll see that. God's master plan started way back before creation. The first part of Ephesians tells us that can you even fathom this? I barely can even begin to think about how before the foundation of the world, God had a master plan that was unfolding. And it included you. And he knew your spirit. He knew your life. And he then followed through and he established the prophets all through the Old Testament who told of the coming Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it was from the very beginning that God established that there needed to be a Messiah. You know why? Because you and I are sinners. And without the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the one to forgive us of sin, without the Messiah, we would have no hope of eternal life in heaven. Absolutely no hope. So the prophets were prophesying. And then we have the gospel period where Jesus is here and he's preaching the good news. And then we have the apostles who are speaking the truth about God. It's this master plan of God. And he is unfolding this before the whole world. You guys, God not only wants to save you, he wants to save your friends. He wants to save your family. And there's only one thing keeping them from being saved, and that's a humble spirit that says, I need a Savior. I see who God is, and I need to be saved. And people believe by faith and put their trust. So we've got this master plan of God. In this scripture that we're going to read, it's going to talk about where you were and how lost you were. And it's going to bring in two different groups of people, the Gentiles and the Jews. And the Jews are God's chosen people. Why he chose the Jews, I don't know. But he chose the Jews, and through Abraham's seed, the Messiah would come. And we're going to see that. And then there's the Gentiles, and they are who? Anybody but the Jews. It's the rest of us who are not of Jewish blood. And then the Gentile word also means the unbelievers. We have the Jews who are God's people, and then we have the Gentiles. And God is going to speak to those. And here's what he's going to say. He's going to say to us that Christ, by dying on the cross, he died for all mankind. And if people put their faith and trust, now there is no longer a division between Jew and Gentile. We are all one in Christ. And we are unified. And there's this concept of unity that I can't spend hardly any time on today. But unity is so crucial. If you were playing a basketball game and you didn't have unity between the players, and you had people just kind of doing their own thing, would you have much opportunity for winning? No. No, you got to work as a team. There's this unity, and God calls for us to humbly come before him and to be part of this unified body of Christ. Kind of with that as an introduction, would you stand with me and let's read in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, good, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Good reading. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this truth, and it's echoed throughout Scripture. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just guide us as we think through some of the parts of these Scriptures, and that we would understand how important these truths are to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I need it. So we could probably ask you builders in the room, we talk about this building of God. I'm just going to read these simple things I wrote down. So when a builder makes ready to begin a building project, they sit down and they contemplate many things. How many of you guys are builders or have built? Got a lot of builders in here. You got to think through the process. You know, you got to think, what is the purpose of the structure? First of all, you have to think, what does the owner want? Right? That's pretty important. And then, what is the purpose of this structure? What would be the best location? What design would best serve the purpose? After complete drawings of each layer are finished, then they're submitted for inspection, right? Something like that. And then the process can begin. You begin grading the dirt. You got to make it right so that you can build the building. You put in the underground. You make sure that your connection to utilities is going to be in the right place. Then you begin choosing materials. Materials are chosen, they're planned, they're purchased according to the plan. And the process begins. And by the way, most builders and most owners are always cautious of the cost and the waste, right? So, and then there's inspections made. There's no step missed. Every detail in order, completed. Each piece of the building process is completed according to plan. And by the way, you know, as a builder, can you just say, well, I'll just put a 2x4 here for fun? You know, or can I'll just nail this up over here? And, you know, no, you got to go to the plan. And by the way, if you don't go to the plan, the owner's going to do what? He's going to let you know. So each block laid, each piece of lumber cut, close measurements and tolerance to ensure a perfect fit and a beautiful finished product. Now, you know, all the raw materials must be prepared. You think about it. How much has to happen before this? The trees have to be milled according to dimension. The blocks that you're going to use possibly for the foundation have to be made in such a way that they're uniform in size. Again, what would it happen if you bought 2x4s and they were all different dimensions? Or you bought blocks and they were all different dimensions? There's a lot of planning that goes in. Even the wire manufactured has to be with precision. Can you imagine if the wire makers who run electricity, you know, create and are going to run electricity for your house, just decide, well, it's okay if it's a little thinner here, a little thicker there, little gaps in between. No, you hope that when you purchase that wire that it is manufactured perfectly. So in turn, hundreds of unique pieces fit together in a finished product to produce what the creator, what the owner had in mind. So we have this building. I would like for you to turn in your Bible. I think there might be one of these scriptures up there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to look at a couple other passages of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. And while you're there, I'm going to go back to Ephesians for just a minute and just read these last words that we read together. It says this: Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You've been saved. And fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. So just get that in your mind. Having been built on the foundation, the perfect foundation of the apostles and prophets. I don't think, you went back to it. Thank you. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. So who's going to live there? God, right? The dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, those of you that are builders, how important is it when you're laying your building out that you have a place to measure from? What the Bible calls it is a cornerstone. It's the first stone that's laid, and everything is measured off of that. Is that important? If it's not correct, what will you have? What are some of the problems you could have? Nothing. Yeah, that's probably a good summary, Mark. That would be bad. The whole house falls over. Nothing fits right. And here the scriptures tell us that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Everything has to be built upon him. All of our faith is built upon him. If our faith is built on anything else, like Joseph said, it'll fall over, right? So Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together. And I'll just mention this issue of unity a little bit when it talks about the whole building fitted together. How important it is when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says in there that we are the body of Christ, and each member perfectly designed for the way God wanted it. You know, when you build a house, there is a huge variety of materials. If all you had were, number 16 nails, you couldn't build much of a house. Maybe build a little house, put some glue between nails. You got to have lumber. You got to have concrete. You got to have wire. And God said there's going to be all of these different parts, and they need to be fitted together. So that means I am fitted to work with you. You're fitted to work with them. They're fitted to work with them. We are fitted together, created, designed, placed in such a way that we are fitted together as the body of Christ. There is a huge unity concept that is very, very important. So it says, he is the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, let me read this. It says this: For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. according to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, talking about the truths of Scripture, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation that we build our lives upon. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. I would just like to say this. God has built his plan. He's involved us as pieces, as building materials, as part of God's household. And he has placed in us gifts and abilities to be used for the purposes of God. And he says, I'm going to come and take a look at how you're using your building material, on how you're part of the body of Christ. He says, and what Paul says is, my hope is that you've been using your life, your efforts, your talents, your gifts, your breath for purposes that promote the gospel of Christ. And he says, in that day, God's going to look at all of our efforts of our life, and he is going to say, you know, this one, that wasn't worth much, and that'll be burned up. But what will happen is God will reward the parts that were to the glory of God. So let me go back to my notes. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you go just a couple more pages, another thought about this building of God. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Now, the first few words aren't going to seem like they fit. But what this is beginning to talk about in verse 16 is the wrong use of our building material. And he says in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So hopefully you can tie that together and see how God is saying, I chose you, I saved you, I saved you for a purpose. Last Sunday in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God, though we are in Christ, and that's where our identity falls, God wants us to use our life to please him, to walk with him, to walk in him, to have a walk that's worthy of the Lord. So, talking about God's building. Now, if you would, in your Bible or up on the screen, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to walk through a few of these thoughts. It says this, therefore remember that you once Gentiles, in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh without hands, that at that time you were without Christ. So here, Paul is just building this case. He's saying, you know what? When you were away from God, you were in bad shape. But now that you have come into Christ, you're in good shape. The bad shape is described by this. It says, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And I just want to say thank you to our worship team over and over and over for bringing us worship songs that talk about this relationship with God and how we are brought near to God through the blood of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who is our Savior and the one who gives us salvation. Verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." I just want to tell you what an incredibly special gift the church is. For decades, for centuries, God was speaking through the prophets to the Jewish people, and he was speaking to them, bringing the truth as an example to the whole world. And then when Christ came and he died on the cross and his blood was shed, he now, it was the possibility that all could be saved in the blood of Christ. Have you ever experienced some kind of division between the Gentiles and the Jews, even to this day? You know, if you've been around long enough, you've watched the news, and you've seen how the Jews have been alienated or targeted, and you have the Gentiles, the rest of the world, and you have the Jews. And so the Jews were the ones God chose to bring the good news of God's message to the world. There's always been a division. And there's always been persecution. And what God says in these verses, "For he himself is our peace." And Paul is writing to both a Jewish audience and a Gentile audience. And he says, "Who made both one." I don't know if you've ever been at odds with someone. Anybody here ever been? I've been at odds with people. And when you're at odds with people, it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable to look them in the eye. It's uncomfortable to be in their presence. It's uncomfortable all the way around. And there has been this division, this enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. But Jews or Gentiles, if they'll put their faith and trust in Christ, God makes them one. They are one in Christ, one in purpose, one in the Savior. He says, "He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." You guys remember back in the Old Testament, there was a design created for the temple where they would worship God. And there was a place called, the Court of the Gentiles. You remember that? And that's as far as the Gentiles could go. Only the Jews could go further in the temple. And what it says is that in Christ, God has broken down the wall of separation, and he has made the two one in Christ. That's a beautiful thing, and a beautiful unity that God has established. "That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near." The near ones were the Jews. And Jesus came and preached peace to them too, preached the gospel to them. And he came to the Gentiles, the ones that were far off, and he preached the gospel to them. And he made it so that the two would become one. Incredible. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." I'd just like to give a couple of summary statements, and then I'll close. I just want to say, first of all, you have been chosen. You've been brought near. And praise God for that. It's what we were worshiping and thanking God for during our communion time, how God has reconciled us to himself. Secondly, in Christ alone is peace. God says division is abolished. Unity is our position and our practice and our pursuit. By the way, in the unity of the body, we're in the body, and sometimes there's disunity. And when there's disunity, what does God want from us? He wants us to remember what we've been saved from. He wants us to remember what we've been saved to. He wants us to humbly thank him and humbly work with each other. That's a summary. God is calling us to do that. Number three, Christ, God's cornerstone, is the foundation your faith is founded upon. And praise God for that. You do not have a shaky faith. Your faith is built upon Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. Number four, the distance the unbeliever has from God has been made small. He has brought you near, which is just incredible. Scriptures say now, but now you who were once far off have been brought near. Verse 14, he himself is our peace. Christ is in us. That middle wall has been broken down. And it says in the scriptures that he might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles, to God in one body through the cross. And so my question, as we just consider these scriptures and what God has done, is have you been brought near? You know, have you seen that God has done all this work from before time began till eternity when we're with him, that God has done this work, and what he wants to do is draw you near. You know, some of you like hugs better than others. With my family, I love to be brought near. I don't like to be kept at arm's distance. The Bible says that God has drawn you near. You who are far off, God has drawn near. And he has said to you, you are my child and I love you. And I just want to say that's what we want for you. If you have not trusted Christ, he wants to draw you near. You know, in that description of the unbelievers, it says they have no hope. Do you know what it feels like to have no hope? God wants us to have hope. Mike, would you and the team and Kate come and lead us in this song? And I just invite you to consider what God is doing in your soul. Consider what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. If you want to be baptized, please talk with one of us. Yes, Sandy? Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. While the team is coming, let me just mention that Mike and Vicki Butler's son, James, they indicate found cancer on the side of his left side of his face, and he's gone through a pretty major surgery, finding 4 lymph nodes with cancer, cancer in his ear and then coming down, and he is actually home, but they really need our prayer. So, God, I just pray right now for Mike and Vicki Butler and James that you would put your healing touch on him in Jesus' name.
In closing this morning, we're going to go ahead and sing the chorus from Come to the Altar. It just seems to kind of wrap this theme that we can come to the Father. He makes us whole. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Arms are open wide for
Lord, we just thank you that these are all true. Thank you for being the cornerstone. And this house, this spiritual house, will never be out of plumb, God. It is exactly as you designed. Help us, Lord, as we are the parts of the body fitted together to say, God, here I am, use me. And Lord, if there are issues of division or issues where that people would say, please forgive me, we need to work together for a greater cause, the cause that God has put us here to share Christ with the world. Father, we pray your blessing on this week, and we pray your blessing on those who have special needs. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our time next week as we are baptizing many at the lake, people who have trusted Christ and want to identify with you and say, I want to live for Jesus. Thank you. We commit today to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.